the hill. The scene, the panorama of my passing days, the light and darker hours of its less than total darkness. The crowded and less crowded, but ultimately empty scene. Scene without actors. Scene without lights. A walk on. A walk off. But no speaking roles. I worked for a while as an acolyte, a celebrant's assistant. I filled the cruets. He sang the incantations. I had a fair enough place to sleep in the cellar, and all the roots I could eat. The work itself was agreeable, but the hours interfered with my meditations. My conversations with the master might have been edifying, but they weren't. They were mostly confined to get this, get that, and seldom moved off the earth in search of a theme. Friends, I don't like to delude myself. I don't suppose I've had many, 4 or 5, 2 or 3, 1 or 2, none, not none. I must have had 1 or 2. Loves, fewer still. 1 or 2. 1, 2, or none. None. Notable memories? Few. Fewer than that. Things having been thus blank so far, what makes me think they'd be different if, different when, in the event that, still, I think they would. I worked for a while as a costermonger. I brought him the garlics. He plaited the stems. What will be different? Everything will. What do I mean by everything? Everything. Everything? Everything. The air, the light, the trees, the hill. What hill? You know, everything. How many times had he been raised from the dead, pinned down by rubble, and again raised to life? As though a plant were trying to grow, and someone kept throwing new dirt upon it. The plant continues to try to grow, and someone keeps throwing new soil. Sometimes I think it's like celery stalks growing in darkness. Stalks reaching up toward the light. My waiting for you is like a plant that grows up toward the light. Doesn't veer from its path. No wind can turn it. I wait and am aware of waiting. Light is always shining gently. On some of the roots, on some of the tubers. But not on all. Light is gentle, patient, wants to shine on all, seeks ways to shine on all. Some of the tubers get in the way of the others. Some get all the light. Others in darkness, in shadow of those in the light. Growing up straight is wanting to grow up straight. Growth follows the longing. Growing up straight is wanting to be straight. What does growing up straight have to do with waiting? Waiting is what I do while trying to grow up straight. Growing up straight, trying to grow up straight, is what I do while waiting. I wait for you. I aspire toward you. In this darkness, trying to keep myself ready, to be ready to receive you. A cool breeze, a calm sea, not the calm sea, but a calm one. Cool breeze, calm sea, not the calmest, but calm. The real world is the one in which I wait for you, the one in which you are hurrying toward me. Waiting for you as though I weren't waiting, watching for you, as though I weren't watching. Doing all things as though I weren't doing them. Doing them just the same. And all while watching. I worked as a busboy on the Côte d'Azur. When the mind is unified, it can respond to anything. All that isn't light is dark. All that isn't dark is light. All that isn't light is dark. All that isn't dark is light. Light is light. Dark is dark. Light is light. Dark is dark. Light is in the beholder's eye. Dark is in the beholder's eye. Light is in the beholder's eye. Dark is in the beholder's eye. Up, up, and out of the dark. Up, up. And into the light. Up, up, and out of the dark. Up, and into the light. Up, and out of the dark. The dark. Up and into the light. The light. Up and out of the dark. The dark. Up and into the light. Up and out of the dreaming dark, up and into the wakening light, up and out of the dark, up and into the light. Out of the dark, out of the dark. Into the light, into the light, out of the dark, out of the dark, into the light, another day has passed, a thousand things have happened. But I haven't found you. I don't think I have. Morning approaches. Dawn approaches. One neurasthenic rooster after another awakens with a tremulous cry. Can I believe you've been quietly waiting for me to begin? I try to picture you. I try not to picture you. And then again, I try. Whether I try or try not, no picture appears. I cannot imagine what appearance you may have. Still, I wait for you to appear. I have a new idea of you. That you come disguised. That you show up now in one guise, now in another, now as one person, now as another, now in one place, now in another. That makes me think I've seen you briefly here and there for a moment. Only a moment. Hiding in this one, hiding in that one, speaking through this one, speaking through that one. Just for a moment, fleetingly. Going away. In the silence between sounds, I listen. I have fashioned myself from the ground up as though I were a tower. But I cannot continue the work. I can no longer understand myself. Cannot decipher my own commands. While waiting, I used to talk to myself but not anymore. If I'm talking, how can I hear you? No, there's no way to begin, no way to end it either. I can see that already. Still, I'll have to begin. Have to end it too. Have to pull it right through to the end. This time, once and forever. Do it up. Finish it off. Tell the whole thing one time through. My foster parents raised me as their daughter, so they must have known I was the poor woman's son. First child and only son, I later learned. My foster parents had wanted a daughter, and a daughter to them I became, as well as I could. I played with dolls. I cooked little meals. I flirted with the boys at school and became engaged to one, the richest and fattest. My parents called me Elspeth, but I called myself John, or Jean. A confusing childhood, but scarcely more confused than the years that followed. My parents died both at once when I was 13. They had gone for a drive on Sunday and left me at home. Their horse took fright at a wild deer crossing its path and bounded off round the curve of a high mountain road, pitching the wagon off onto the hillside where my poor parents rolled to their death. I was left alone in the house to mourn them. I could no longer stay in the house, and I had no wish to. I took off from it one night, shortly thereafter, at midnight. I wrapped my clothes, my ribbons and bows, in a blanket, and I also took with me a pair of my lamented guardian's work pants and a workaday jacket that fit me quite well. I was determined to prove myself now. if not as a man, at least as a strong, growing lad in the first town I came to. I found work in one, a town by the sea, as a barber's apprentice, a job for which my life as a daughter had prepared me uniquely. The barber was pleased with my tact and good manners, my cleanliness, prompt obedience, and reserve. He provided me with a place to stay, a dark, narrow closet adjoining his shop. I'd leave the door open a crack at night and breathe in the spicy, pungent, and florid aroma of his lotions. I thought about the bottles, the lotions, the powders. What could it all be about? Brought up as a girl, I was used to mirrors and powder, but felt I had missed something essential, and that was the why. Man, creature, or woman, what reason had we to cover our skins, disguise our odors, wear a face not our own? If all that had ever come through that door was aroma, there might not be any story to tell. But it was not. I can't remember now just when the presences appeared. Spirits of my master's past customers who'd come back to reclaim their hair. That, at least, was the construction I put upon their nocturnal appearance. Why else would they have chosen his shop to return to? They were men and boys from every walk of life. Though any walking they'd done in their lives was over, they drifted now a bit above the floor. Their faces were the faces of human beings, but their bodies were the bodies of spirits. They had no need to open a door to enter, and they made no sound. They moved around the shop at night. Not one night, many. I got to know them. We didn't speak, but I had my ideas about them. Was one the leader? Were they a band? Or had each one come on a mission of his own? At first, I lay very still on my cot and watched them. Later, when I was sure they weren't concerned with me, I sat up, still on the bed, and watched them more closely. I could see their faces, not flesh, so much as the lines. The one thing I knew as clearly as though I'd been told is that I must not ask my master who they might be. Whatever I learned of them, I knew I must learn for myself. I said they had come from all walks of life, but I began to feel that most of their walks had been taken below the sea. I'll say no more about that for the moment, or what it was that made me imagine it. But once the idea took hold of my fancy, I found it almost impossible to erase. These men had come up from sea's bottom. They had lived on land, surely, once, but they lived there no more.